This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Late March really isn't the ideal time of the year for a rowboat in this northern Vermont pond, Jeff.
No, I get that it's not. I mean, the pond was ice over until just recently. It's cold and windy up here today, and it's not a place where you want to fall in either.
Yeah, I get it. You'd go hypothermic pretty quick in this cold water.
Yeah, you would. So officially, the name of this body of water is Fairfield Pond.
Which makes sense because we're in Fairfield, Vermont, just a bit south of the Canadian border.
Right. But unofficially, it's been called Dream Pond or Dream Lake, depending on who you ask.
I mean, I guess it's kind of dreamy out here, or maybe it is in the summer.
Yeah, well, it's called Dream Pond not so much because of the way it looks, but because they say a local woman once had a dream that led to a shocking discovery by the side of the pond that solved a murder. Hey, I'm Jeff Belanger. Welcome to episode 340 of the New England Legends Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us on our mission to chronicle every legend in New England.
And I'm Ray Osier. Whether it's true crime, ghosts and hauntings, roadside oddities, aliens, or just the plain weird, we love it all, and we appreciate you spending some time with us twice per week. New episodes every Thursday, and From the Vault with new commentary each Monday. You can help us out by subscribing, posting a review for us, or telling others. It's how we grow.
And we'll explore this strange tale of murder right after this word from our sponsor.
You know what? You could send me in to face a room full of demons. Send me out there to some long-forgotten civilization to confront the spirits that are angered that we are interloping in their space. I'm cool with that. You know what I'm not so good at? Struggling with my finances. Trying to find time and a way to manage my finances. And at the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions that I don't use anymore. But now, I use Rocket Money, and it does all of that for me. Rocket Money is the personal finance app I've been talking to you about. It finds and cancels all your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it'll help you lower your bills so that you can grow that savings. And I know that's important to you because it sure is important to me. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of all of the expenses. Rocket Money has over 5 million users now. And in total, they've saved about 500 million in canceled subscriptions. And that savings is about $740 a year when using all of the app's features. It's easy. It's simple. Why aren't you taking advantage of it for yourself? Time to take control of your finances. Join your pal, Darkness Dave, and let's do this. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel those unwanted subscriptions. Get control of your finances again by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. Make sure that you support the advertisers advertising on this show. There's a link for this on today's program guide. All right, my little army of darklings, you know that I would follow you into the gates of hell and beyond, holding your hand in proud battle. So I'm going to ask you to trust me on something. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by just about every overpriced wireless provider out there, if I've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, yeah, all right, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't a catch. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings on directly to you, my little darklings. I can tell you, making the switch has saved me hundreds of dollars, and that's no exaggeration. With all that we had going with our phones and the amount of phones that we had on our plan, it was insane. And every carrier was the same, overcharging, overpricing, and fees I wasn't expecting. So say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans and those jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered to you on the nation's largest 5G network. So now you know what I know and understand why we made a change in the Schrader home. It's time you do that as well. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. There is a $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions do apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, Dream Pond is just a better name.
I agree.
Fairfield Pond in Fairfield, Vermont just feels kind of lazy.
Right.
You know, like you couldn't think of a better name, so they just came up with that after the town.
Yeah, I get it, right?
Here's a little background on Fairfield, Vermont. It is now and always has been a small town. The town was organized in 1790 and became renowned for being a farming community. The rolling hills were perfect for growing hay, corn, and plenty of pastures for dairy cows. They're also known for maple syrup production.
And within this small town is a pond. Fairfield Pond officially, but as we said before, it's also known as Dream Pond, depending on who you ask.
Jeff, have you ever had a dream that felt like real, real?
I have. I remember having a dream about my grandmother shortly after she died. I was only 10 years old, and this was my first big family loss. And I felt like it was more than a dream, like she was really there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the same experience. I feel like I've been visited by loved ones who passed on. It's such a strong feeling. It's emotional, way more than a dream.
Dreams are powerful things. I mean, most of them we forget by breakfast, but some of them sort of gnaw at us. They make us do things we wouldn't normally do, whether that's maybe change our behavior, maybe check on a friend or a loved one we haven't heard about in a long time, or take some precautions. A dream figures prominently in this true crime legend we're about to explore. So let's head back to the year 1841 and check out Fairfield, Vermont.
It's October of 1841 here in Fairfield, Vermont. It's a quiet farming community, and that's just the way folks like it. It's the kind of small town where everyone knows everyone. So when a newcomer shows up in town, there's some excitement.
That's when Eugene Clifford arrives in town. He's British. He's charming.
Where did he come from, and why did he show up in Fairfield?
No one's quite sure. He seems to tell different stories to different people. Now, some think he was a British soldier in Canada who deserted his post and started a new life just south of the border. Others think maybe he was some kind of outlaw on the run. But, like I said, he's charming. So, most forgive his vague backstory.
Pretty soon, Eugene takes a job working on the Marvin farm in town. The farm is owned by Stephen and Sappho Marvin, who work the farm with their hired farmhands. Sappho has a dear friend named Betsy Gilmore. She lives a short distance away.
Oh, right. Yeah, the widow Gilmore lives just down the road by the pond. She's an Irish immigrant with a 40-acre farm. She's there all by herself since her husband died, the poor thing.
Betsy comes to visit her friend and neighbor Sappho almost daily. You can't miss her walking up the road wearing her Spanish shawl. She wears it almost everywhere. Pretty soon, the widow catches the eye of farmhand Eugene Clifford.
Maybe it's Betsy's eyes. Maybe it's her laugh.
Maybe it's because she's just about the only person in town he can date.
Oh, good point. Or maybe owning her farm and land also sounds appealing. No matter the reason, Eugene quickly woos Betsy. The wedding soon follows, and the two move into the Gilmore farm.
Betsy is grateful for companionship and help again. She's got a glow about her, and pretty soon, Betsy is with child.
These folks move quick. I mean, they only met a couple of months ago, and Now there's a baby on the way. And pretty soon, baby makes three. Baby Marianne is welcomed into the world.
While things may look good from the outside, word has it Eugene has his eye on a different, younger widow in town.
It's early afternoon on Sunday, October 16th, 1842. A cold and drizzly autumn day in Vermont. Eugene announces that the family needs to go visit some friends across the pond. Betsy suggests maybe another day would be better for a visit, but Eugene insists it needs to be today. If they borrow the Marvin's rowboat, the trip won't take very long. Now, Betsy doesn't like the idea of heading out in this weather, but she relents.
Steph and Marvin doesn't like the idea of them going out in this weather either. But still, he allows his neighbor to borrow the boat. Any concerns he has about the welfare of the baby are soon reassured by Eugene, who explains the baby will be wrapped in a woolen blanket and his wife's shawl. The baby will be fine. After rowing the boat a few hundred feet from shore, something awful happens.
There's water, muffled screams, splashing. The boat is capsized. Eugene returns to Stefan Marvin soaking wet and weeping. He explains that the boat had capsized when Betsy tried to adjust the blanket around the baby just as a big gust of wind blew by. He said he fell in too and tried to save them. He could hear their cries for help, but he was too far away. And being a poor swimmer, the best he could do is reach for a nearby floating oar and swim himself to shore.
Eugene, Stefan, and his farmhands race to the pond to try to search for the missing people.
The body of Betsy is discovered tangled up in some reeds, and the body of baby Marianne is discovered separated from her mother near the shore. After the authorities investigate, the deaths are ruled accidental.
Still, something doesn't sit right with Sappho. She's inconsolable over the loss of her dear friend. Soon, the tragic events begin to invade Sappho's dreams. For a few days after the tragedy, it's always the same dream.
I started to worry that the shawls were never found. They should have been with the bodies or with the boat. We never found them. Wouldn't they have floated? I went in search of the shawls. I went down to the pond, climbed over the fence into a swampy area that I had never been to before. Trees had toppled over in the wind, and I was afraid. Finally, near the shore, I saw a shallow hole. I started to dig and found the shawls.
Sappho's husband, Stefan, doesn't put much stock in dreams, but Bailey, one of their farmhands, does believe there's something to it. Sappho very much wants to go to the pond and see if there's anything to the dream. Bailey agrees to go with her, and he brings a shovel.
Sappho finds the place by the pond from her dream. It's a section she swears she's never visited before, but she recognizes it from her dream. Bailey digs into the mud and dirt by the pond.
Whoa, what is that?
Hey, it's some kind of fabric. Oh, man.
It's Betsy Gilmore's shawls.
It is. If the drowning was an accident, why would they be buried in the dirt?
So the authorities are summoned, and soon Eugene Clifford is arrested for the murder of his wife and infant child. The motive? He would own his farm outright. Then he could marry the young widow across the pond and gain even more land. Sappho Marvin relates her dream in court under oath, and Clifford is found guilty and sentenced to prison. And that brings us back to today.
Eugene Clifford quickly lost his marbles once he was in jail. Now, Vermont's laws had recently been changed regarding capital punishment. Part of the penalty was 1 year in solitary confinement before any further punishment. I mean, this was seen as critical that the guilty be tormented by remorse first. The solitude was more than Eugene could take. Haunted by his actions and circumstances, he slowly lost his mind. Once the year was up, Eugene was so incoherent, he was moved to the insane asylum in Brattleboro, Vermont, instead of the gallows. He died soon after moving to the asylum.
There's a news clip from the November 8, 1842 Vermont Gazette newspaper that mentioned how the incident was first ruled an accident, but after, quote, some suspicious circumstances coming to light, a second inquest was called and a verdict given, willful murder. The July 1871 Lakeside Monthly Journal documents a lot more details on the event and trial.
So this is an example of being haunted by true crime. The event took place, some supernatural evidence comes to light in the form of a dream, and suddenly a conviction happens because of that dream.
A skeptic could argue that maybe Sappho had a gut instinct, and that's what invaded her dreams.
True, and it did come to light after the murder that Betsy had confided in a few friends that she was afraid of her husband and worried for her safety. And when authorities questioned neighbors across the pond, no one said they were expecting a visit from the Cliffords that fateful day.
Well, you don't have to watch too many true crime shows to know when someone is murdered. It's almost always the spouse.
And Eugene almost got away with it, too. He would have got away with it, but his wife's friend listened to her instincts and her dreams and saw them through to the point of a conviction. And to this day, some locals still call this body of water Dream Pond.
And that takes us to After the Legend, where we take a deeper dive into this week's story and, well, sometimes veer off course.
After the Legend is brought to you by our Patreon patrons. What is a Patreon, you ask? Well, it's a place where you can go to help financially support what we do. It's a separate community where we post all of our episodes ad-free and early, plus bonus episodes and content that no one else gets to hear. You get your own unique RSS feed, too, so you can plug that into your favorite podcast player and get all of our episodes and extras fed to you automatically. It's just $3 per month, and it helps us out quite a bit. Head to patreon.com/New England Legends to sign up. And to see some pictures of Dream Pond in Fairfield, Vermont, just click on the link in our episode description or go to our website and click on episode 340. Ray, a dream? Just a dream?
No, not at all. And I'm fascinated by dreams, and I wish I did more research and studied more about dreams.
Go on.
But I do know that they are more than they seem to be.
Sure.
Absolutely. In this case alone, I mean, that's really weird that you know, they found what they found because of a dream.
I wrote a book on dream. It's called The Nightmare Encyclopedia, Dream Interpretation Guide.
Yeah.
And this was years ago, but it is fascinating. I think at the most basic level, a dream is you communicating with you.
Yes,
if you want to take all the woo-woo or whatever out of it, it's you're working yourself out. You're working out your issues and stuff that's going on in your life. And the imagery of the brain is images, not words. It would be wonderful if we were having a weird dream and our brain just said, you know, Ray, you've been drinking too much and staying up too late. You need more rest. You need less alcohol, whatever, right? But it doesn't work that way. You just get this monster that's swimming at you and you go, what does it mean, right? And you got to decode it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and I think a lot of times, like, you know, dreams are just sort of strange and maybe just a subtle reminder of whatever's going on recently in your life. But sometimes they come up again and again. And I mean, think about it. It's literally made up in your head, and you can remember certain dreams months, years after the fact.
Vividly.
That's incredible.
Yeah. But then there's some that, like you said, you forget at breakfast.
Of course. Yeah.
By breakfast.
Or you just wake up and go, that was strange. And then it didn't really mean much to you. So, off it goes. And that's okay. No
but
big
you
deal.
Know, it was so cool. And you wish that you could remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Someday we'll be able to download the dreams right out of our head, I'm sure.
So I had a dream the other night. I've discovered only in recent years that I'm allergic to peanuts.
Oh, wow.
Very mild. Super. I could eat them. I would be okay. Like on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm a 1.
Yeah.
But it is a 1. And I'll notice like my chest will get a little wheezy a couple hours after having peanut butter or eating peanuts. And I discovered this because when my daughter was born, she is allergic to nuts. So we got them all out of the house.
Right.
And then once in a while, I was like, ooh, I'll have some, right? Because I'm not near her. And then I went,
you're cursing your kid, I can't eat these. She's gone. I can eat them now.
In fairness, I'd rather have her than peanuts. But I had this, so I had peanut butter the other day and I got wheezy. And then that night I had a dream that I was just eating peanuts and I was having trouble breathing. And then I woke up
like,
you idiot, that's twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that maybe that dream was just me saying like, here, have another round, idiot. Yeah. You know, you already know this bothers you, so why not have some more, you know? And I'm like, okay, I get it, you know?
I get it, mind. I get it, me.
Sorry. So, and what'll happen, like realistically, it'll be about a year from now, and I'll be like, I'm really craving a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Maybe I got over the...
And then the dreams will start again, saying you're an idiot.
You know how you could be driving down the highway, this is so dangerous, but it happens all the time. Your mind starts to wander, right? And then all of a sudden you're at exit 37. You were supposed to get off at 29. You're like, where? How did I get this far?
Yeah.
But you stayed on the road. There were a couple twists and turns.
Yeah.
And you don't know how you did it. Your mind is seeing things that you don't see. It's controlling, I think. And when they say we use only 10% of our brain, something like that.
Not me. 8.
I think there's so much more going on in there that we don't understand, obviously. But I think our brain, our eyes are seeing things for us. They're helping us move through life. And I think that's interpreted in our dreams as well.
Yeah.
Is that then it's in there telling us things.
What's amazing is if I blindfolded you right now and said, get up to your master bedroom.
Yeah.
And you'd bump into every wall and you'd fall down the stairs.
Right.
Right. Sleepwalkers don't do that.
That's true.
They just walk like there's no problem.
They can walk downstairs. They can go outside, yeah. Not run, walk into traffic.
Anything.
Walk along the side of the road.
Yeah, I know.
So that's, yeah, your brain is seeing things that we don't understand.
Right.
We're not seeing with our eyes, yeah. Our conscious eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's really weird.
It is weird.
So I think that has a lot to do with our sleep.
Right.
And in our dreams.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, the fact that, of course, only after the fact, but how wild was it at the time this crime's committed and the police are pretty much like, okay, well, it was a crappy day to be out on a boat in the pond.
Yeah.
Irresponsible of you, sure, but criminally liable? I guess not. You know, bad accident. You seem distraught over the loss of your wife and infant. I guess that's that.
Right.
But checking with the neighbors across the pond seemed like a real basic one to me.
Yeah.
And that was in the papers, just like, you know, the police finally went and questioned and said, oh, he said he was supposed to visit you that day. And they're like, oh, we knew nothing about that.
Right.
That seems like a pretty basic thing to go check.
You would think.
Right. That's your reason. So anyway, so there must have been enough there that Sappho's friend was worried about her.
Yeah.
And said, I don't think this was just an accident.
Right.
And the buried shawl. There's also some question about, you know, what was the shawl floating? Was it found somewhere else? Was it found later? Was it found outside of the pond? For the sake of our story, we yeah. buried it. But the shawl was the giveaway.
Why didn't you just come back with the shawl and say, this is all I could grab?
Right, well, then it would make it seem like you got that close but couldn't save the person?
I guess, yeah. You or know? It was floating, or I don't right. know. It just seemed, buried seems like... you know, a little suspect.
But it was found in a peculiar place.
Right.
And that was enough for authorities to say, like, well, we wouldn't get here
yeah.
naturally without someone, you know, doing something about it. So so the case was solved and he was, you know, he died in an asylum, you know, mm-hmm. not that long after. But yeah, the funny thing about, well, I truly believe we're all connected, especially the people we care about, our friends, our family, and so
sure.
on. And that connection is strong. And mm-hmm. when something goes wrong... Like, I don't know. I mean, I think there's really something to it where...
We're all tethered. And
yeah.
I think not just friends. I
sure.
think a human race.
Yeah.
Have you ever, you're across the country, you run into somebody that knows somebody
yeah.
that you know, or
yeah.
That's happened to me many times. You're on vacation. I was in maybe the Bahamas. I can't remember where I was. But I was in the ocean. I was the only one in the ocean on the 7 Mile Beach, wherever that is. Turks and Caicos, I think.
Nice.
Anyway, in the ocean. There's nobody else in the ocean.
Stealth brag.
Okay, right. This guy comes up next to me, and I just notice he has a Red Sox hat on. He's from Hopedale. I'm from Milford. It's
yeah.
basically the same town.
Sure, yeah.
So weird. Listens to the radio station, knew who I was.
Yeah.
This is halfway across the world. And that guy was put in that
yeah.
area that I was in. At that moment.
And you were drawn to each other.
So, well, maybe not drawn to each other because on vacation, I don't like meeting new people. I'm like, hey, would you get away from me, please? But yeah, that's just so strange that those things happen. And they happen almost every time I go away.
Have you had a dream, though, that you felt was like way more than a dream?
Yeah, like my dad visited me
yeah.
not too long after and saying that,
after he passed away.
After he passed a couple times. So he shows up in my dreams. But one of my friends who died from cancer, days after she died, hugged me in a dream
oh.
and said, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So that's, I took that as, wow, that's
closure.
That's real. That's not just my mind making
yeah,
things
yeah.
up. So maybe once we go, maybe, you know, we think about heaven and hell and, reincarnation and mm-hmm. this and that, maybe we end up in dreams, a dream land.
I've said for a long time that if we do have some ability to interact with our loved ones after we're gone, the dream state is the perfect place because If you're trying to get over the loss of someone you care about big time, and you're in the kitchen, and then there's their ghost, it's not necessarily a good day for you.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you might be like, oh,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean this.
So you know when you're sleeping calm, yeah,
yeah. You're asleep, and when you wake up, there you have a buffer. You
yeah.
can say, I really think that was real. However, I recognize I was dreaming,
right?
And maybe it was just a really vivid dream. You get to give yourself enough doubt to keep your sanity over the thing.
I think it's also good for the ghost because, you know, we do things throughout the day we don't want people seeing. So if
most things.
if somebody that passed was able to visit me, I would hope it's when yeah. I'm sleeping.
Right.
And not doing dumb, weird things in my waking life. Yes.
Hey, Ray, I'm here for closure. Oh, now?
I heard a comedian talk about that. They're like, oh, your loved ones are always watching you when you die. And they're like, that's like hell for most people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, watching your kid do weird things. That's not heaven.
There's some memes that are out there that aren't fit for repeating, but yeah, Nana's watching you.
Yeah. Well, that's what they tell us, so we'll behave.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Someone's watching. Yeah. No, I get it. It's a powerful thing, and I understand how, and also too, like, you want justice. You know, like, people died. A baby and your friend died. You want justice. If there was wrongdoing, you want those people punished, and that will always haunt us.
Yeah.
Anytime that a crime goes unsolved or unpunished. Yikes. We don't like that. Someone got away with murder. Right. You know, in this case, he did not because of a dream. And that's really powerful.
Pay attention to your dreams, folks.
Yeah.
If you've got a story you think we should check out, please reach out to us anytime on our website. So many of our story leads come from you. We appreciate being part of this community with you. Also, you can help us out by posting a review for us on iTunes or share our episodes on your social media or tell others about us. That's how we grow. You can also download our free New England Legends app and join our Facebook group for even more high strangeness.
We'd like to thank Lisa Strakowski for lending her voice acting talents this week. Thank you to our Patreon patrons. Thanks so much to our sponsors. And our theme music is by John Judd.
Until next time, remember,
the bizarre is closer than you think.